Genesis chapter 12, please listen to God's word, verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife, Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, where they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At the time the Canaanites were in the land, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. Then he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Pastor Wilson's going to come and give the message.
Leaving is never easy. I remember 30 years ago, at the end of a summer, that was the first time I left home for college. I still remember to this day, that day the whole family get together in the airport. I still remember the smell in the airport. I still remember the knot in my stomach when I say goodbye to my parents. I still remember the profound sense of sadness, loss, and loneliness as I board the airplane to go to a land that I've never been there before. Leaving is never easy. This morning, I would like to open up a new series from the Bible for us to learn a little bit on what is faith. What is Christian faith? So you see that in your insert in the bulletin, there's a flyer. There's a faith series. And this morning, I would like to start with one person in the book of Genesis, Abram, or later God changed his name into Abraham. And this is the first encounter and also the first record of Abram in the Bible. And the record is related to leaving. Because, you know, if you turn to your Bible, chapter 12 of Genesis, you will see that this verb, leave, or later on in the same passage, those nine verses that you read, go, went, they in fact are the same root, it's the same word in Hebrew. So the first thing that draw my attention to this passage is leaving. Leave to be the key word in this passage. God gave Abram a call. The call is leave. Leave. That is the focus. Leave to where? It didn't say much. It just started with leave. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." The first part of that comes as a command. God's calling oftentimes expressed in a command. Now this is drastically different from our understanding of God's calling. Because sometimes we think God's calling is like God gave me an option. God gave me a choice. God gave me in many, many things, one of the things maybe I can pick that. No, God's calling oftentimes appear in our life as a command. I still remember 15 or so more years ago when my Christian walk was renewed by God. And after that renewal, I knew that I am a sinner. I desperately need Jesus' grace to wash me clean. And no sooner after that, I sensed a calling from God, calling to ask me, would you dedicate yourself to serve me full time? Your whole life, your whole focus of your life, the purpose of your life is to serve me. And I still remember I struggled with that feeling, that calling for 5 years. And many, many times at the end of the day in that struggle, it came to me that is, if I do not respond to God's calling, I might have just walked away from God's church. I may have just not been God's children anymore because I cannot reconcile the tension within. Now, when I read this account of Abram's, God's calling come as a command, I understand, I realize. Because that is the purpose God make you and me. You might not be called to full-time ministry, but God call you for a purpose. And He want to use you in a very specific way. And oftentimes it come as a command. And if we do not respond to that command by obeying, we will not have peace. Because it's all against all the fabric of our beings. God mold me, God wire you in a way that He wants to use and to transform you in that respect. And if you deny that, as if you are denying the very core of your being, your existence. That explains why a lot of Christians, when we struggle with God's calling, you know, again, I want to remind you, it's not necessary to be a full-time call, but He called you for a purpose. You have a purpose specifically in mind when God made you. And if you do not respond to that, you will find that you will be like people in this world, wandering, losing your meaning of life. You're losing the purpose. And therefore, you live a life there's no difference from people who doesn't have hope. God's calling always come as a command. God's calling came to Abram as a command. Leave. What is it about? He said, leave your country, leave your people, and leave your father's household. These three things, you can look at it as like three concentric circles. Leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household. Each one are more intimate than the other. It's getting deeper and deeper. It's getting more intimate and intimate, one after the other, and it's getting more personal. Leaving is never easy. Keep in mind, Abram's time was about 2100 BC, around that time frame. And he lived in a place that I have a map for you, that in the next slide. Now this is the map that explained to us verses 1 to 9 the travel, the journey of Abram. Now this is a little bit different from traditional what you understand, because God called him in chapter 12, 1 to 2, called Abram to leave, and specifically the context is to leave a city named Haran. It's not the city Ur, it's Haran. Now traditionally, you will see that Haran in all your Bible map is all on the lower right-hand corner by the mouth of those two big rivers. But a couple of decades ago, archaeologists started to dig around the city of Haran and found out that they discovered an ancient library about the same time as Abram. They discovered more than 22,000 clay tablets. And these clay tablets oftentimes refer to a nearby city named Ur of Chaldean, which is the same term the Bible used in chapter 15, that God said, I call you to leave, I lead you out of Ur of Chaldean. And that Ur of Chaldean is a little bit north of the city of Haran. Now what area is that? That area is actually a very fertile area. You see, it's between the two rivers. And you know, you see the green part. The green part representing plantation, vegetation. And the yellow part is all desert. So you can see that the city of Haran is actually reside in a crossroad. Any important traffic, trade, everything will pass through that juncture. Whether you're coming from north or coming from the east, you have to pass the city of Haran. So as a matter of fact, the name Haran means crossroad. Abram and his family were living in that area, and that area was an ancient civilization called Sumerian. The Sumerian civilization, maybe some of you in your junior high or high school world history, you know, talking about the Middle East, the ancient civilization, you heard about that. Now, Sumerian civilization has been flourished 1,000 years before Abram. 1,000 years before Abram, they invented the potter's wheel. They invented potter's wheel probably because they've been inspired by the invention of wheel itself. They invented pottery. They invented ceramics. They invented mathematics. And those inventions still affect us today. Mathematics is a count by 60. So today, we count hour by 60 minutes. We count a circle, 360 degrees. It's all coming from the Sumerian civilization. They have extensive library, very well documented everything. Abram was living in that kind of context, in that kind of civilization. When God called him to leave, you can imagine how difficult it is. God called him to leave to a land that I will show you. And later on, he showed him, which is the land down in the south by the coastal area. We call it Palestine today. At that time, it's called Canaan. And Canaan, in contrast to the Sumerian civilization on the north, it is a civilization that has no written language. And you can imagine, there's no mathematics, nothing, that sort of thing. And there was very little small cities in Canaan, not like Haran, the crossroad of trade, the crossroad of civilization, the crossroad of culture, the crossroad of flourish society. God called him to leave. Now, when you look at that part, you will see, oh, this is dreadful. This is dreadful. This is stressful. God seems to be the great disruptor. You know, whenever we set our life on a track, we want to build our life, God always come in and cut in and said, you know, no, move the other direction. Maybe some of us would feel that way. But the calling did not end in leaving. If we continue on, you will see from verse 2 on, the calling has been matched by a series of promises. And those promises were addressing to the three consecutive concentric circle that God called Abram to leave. God called Abram to leave your country, and he matched with a promise, I will make you into a great nation. God called him to leave your people, and God matched it with a promise, I will make your name great. Now you will wonder why leaving your people and a great name, what is the relation? Well, it has to do with the original language. The name Sarai, Abram, carry a meaning. Sarai, particularly Sarai, the name carry the meaning princess. Abram later on in Genesis, I think was a character named Abimelech, refer him as a prince. So you can see that Abram and Sarai, they were not nobody in Haran. If they were not coming from royalty, they are well-connected, famous people. People in Haran probably know them very well. They probably were very established economically and socially. Therefore, here, God said, I will make your name great. Not only God will make his name great, but by saying that I will make your name great, is in contrast to chapter 11. If you back up your Bible to chapter 11 a little bit, before the genealogy of Abram's family, there was an incident called the incident of Babel. Remember that? Remember that story? Babel is a group of people that gathered together. They said, we were going to build a big tower. What was the purpose? so that people can remember our name. And specifically, they said, you know, chapter 11, verse 3. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. That very act of rebellious, because why? Because if you back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you will see that when God made Adam and Eve, God gave them a specific command. You're going to multiply, scatter all over the earth, to rule over the earth, to rule over the earth that I gave you. That is God's command. But here, people in their rebellious heart, they want to go opposite. They want to build a name for themselves, and they want to specifically against God's command, saying that we are not going to scatter over the earth. We're going to get together. And therefore, judgment came. That's why you're learning foreign language so hard today. That's why when I preach in English, I spend a lot more effort than I preach in my native tongue. Because of that rebellious act. We want to make a name for ourselves, but here, God called Abram, when you leave, I will make you your name great. God called him not only leave his country, his people, but also his father's household. And look at that, the third part of that promise. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth, the word people, another translation is all families on earth. All families on earth will be blessed through you. So you see, God calls us. God has a command, God has a demand. But he will match his command, his demand, his calling with his promises. God will match that. Why is that? Because God want to call us to leave those things that will bog us down. God calls us to leave our sinfulness. God calls us to leave our comfort zone. Because those things, sooner or later, will replace God in our life. God called us to leave with the heart of blessing us. And be specific, with the heart that makes us into a blessing. You cannot be someone's blessing if you have never experienced blessing yourself. So God called us, and his promise not only will satisfy your need, but he will make you abundant to a degree that other people will experience through you God's blessing. I remember a couple years ago, actually 2 days ago, I saw CNN. They have 100 people, most influential people. I don't know whether you see that in Times.com. I clicked through that. I saw a picture by a woman, a financial advisor, very famous name, Susie Osman. Heard about her? I saw her program a couple years ago addressing to a group of college graduates. The program is called The Young, The Fabulous, The Broke. Because when you graduate from college, you probably have a lot of loans. So you're broke. And she was addressing to a group of young men and women. Apparently, a lot of them, they are in debt. And one of the advice that she gave is, she gave a lot of wise advice in how to handle your money, how to consolidate your debt. But one thing she said, remember, every month in your budget, set aside certain amount, even though it's $2, $3, $5, you set aside certain amount to donate to charity. And the reason that she said, I remember very clearly, she said, you need that profound sense that you are a contributing member in a community. Now, if a secular financial advisor recognizes the importance in human heart that we need to be a contributor, how much more as God's people that we need to respond to that? And we respond to that not because to make us feel good, but because God called us to be a blessing for others. That is part of his promise. That is part of His promises. God calls us, God demands from us, but God will match the demand and the command with His mighty promises. Faith begins with the Word of God. Faith begins from the Word of God. It's a revelation. Revelation means the idea, the information, the data is coming from above, outside of us. It's not coming from within. You know, if you give Abram 2,000 years, 3,000 years, scratching his head, he will never come up with leave. It's coming from God Himself. Faith, Christian faith, is coming directly from the Word of God. It's God's Word inspired in our heart that we respond in faith. It starts there. But it doesn't stop there. Because faith will complete itself in obedient response. Verses 4 to 6 in chapter 12. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Verse 6 go on, Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Morah at Shechem, at the time that Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward Negev. That was the journey report. But you notice one thing. In this short 9 verses, wherever the subject of the sentence is God, it always comes with God's word. And whenever the subject is Abram, it's followed with actions, verbs, actions. So God said, leave. And then verse 4, the response. So Abram left. Faith cannot be complete without action. Faith is not defined by action itself alone. Faith is starting from God's word, but it will not be completed unless that's followed by actions. Abram responded with his action. And his action was based on God's word, not the environment. Because here, just the short verses 4 to 9 I read to you, there's two references put in there, the author put in there. The first reference is Abram was 75 years old. Can you imagine a guy 75 years old leaving home, set on a journey? Now maybe in modern day America, it's difficult for us to relate because we are in a culture that some of us, maybe by the time that you send some kind of thing, like you start to settle down, then you start to click and send your resume around. You want to change. And to some of us, traveling, moving is a romantic idea. But keep in mind, this is 3,000 years ago. Keep in mind that he already had a family. And everything has been rooted nicely. 75 years old, he probably should be doing something about his retirement account, 401k. Now God called him and said, leave. And he left. Abram's response was solely depends upon God's word, not the environment, not his age, nor the obstacles. Because later on, God led him to the land that he promised. And what was the common on that land? The common was coming from verse 6, the latter part. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land? Did he see a land that is habitable for him? Did he see the land is possible for him to take over? No, he didn't. Canaanite was already occupying the land. As a matter of fact, throughout Abraham's whole life, he never saw that land that he can rule. So therefore, in Hebrew chapter 11, let me read you, Hebrew chapter 11, the comment on Abram, chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking toward to the city with foundation, whose architect and builder is God. Later on, verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admit that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they have left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called a God, for he has prepared a city for them. Abram did not see the promise materialize, but nevertheless, he responded, because he's based on God's revelation, God's word, not the environment, not the obstacle. And his action results in worship. In verses 7 and 8, twice mentioned that Abram built altar, particularly after God revealed himself before him. When he got into the promised land, as God commanded him, God appeared before him to confirm the promise that he gave him. To your offsprings, verse 7, I will give this land. So Abram responded in worship. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And later on, when he traveled further south, why did he travel further south? Because he wanted to see the whole land. And by traveling to the north and the south of the land, he's claiming in faith that this land God gave me. And he built altar there to worship God. His action completes his faith. And that brings out the climax of worship. Now, it's drastically different from the kind of worship that you and I think. We think worship is Sunday morning, Saturday evening, when we get together and we sing some songs, and the songs sometimes speak to our hearts, arouse our emotion. But here, the Bible picture a life of worship is drastically different. It starts with obeying God's command, responding to God's call, based on God's promise. And it completes in our obedient response to leave, to follow God. And then it comes worship. So the challenge is this morning, are we worshiping God in that same spirit? Or worshiping God is one of the options, choices in our life? Are we facing God's calling and look it as it God's command? But keep in mind, when he gives his command, he gives a matching promises to help us to fulfill that. And also, when we respond in obedience, don't think that your obedience, your response is so credible Because later on in Genesis, you will see that Abram made many, many mistakes. God gave him a promise that I will make you a great nation. I will make your name great. Many, many families and on earth will be blessed through you. But later on, when he encountered the barrenness of his wife Sarai, actually, it started in chapter 11, verse 30. Sarai already infertile, barren. And Abram tried everything he can his own way, adopt a son, or get another wife. He tried to work out that promise, but God was so specific. You see, Abram's response, even though in the beginning is a faith, is a genuine faith, but it's related to you and me. Our response to God is always imperfect. It's not good enough. But God's plan of salvation will continue on. He will never be stopped by your imperfection and my imperfection. As a matter of fact, He will use that and redeem us. So however imperfect your response is, don't make it an excuse for you not to respond. Because Abram, through his life, we see he still have a lot of mistake, a lot of sinfulness. But God is faithful. God is faithful. And therefore, from that point on, a new kind of humanity came. It starts from leaving. The call to leave is very evident in Abram's life. Because later on in chapter 22, when he finally got his only begotten son, Isaac, God called him one day, "Abram, take your son, your beloved son, Isaac, and leave. Go to the mountain that I instruct you, and you offer him as a sacrifice, a burning sacrifice for me." God once again called him to leave. And this time, God said, "Take your son, your only son, the one that you love, Isaac." Why repeat so many times? Because it is the same vocabulary in John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. It all start with a very weak, tiny, little, imperfect response from Abram, that the plan of salvation in God's almighty, all wisdom start to materialize. And up to today, you and I, we enjoy that because of that very weak little faith. Today, you might see that your faith is weak. So was Abram's. But don't let that stop you. Respond. Obey God. God will take care of those because God has matching promises in our lives. And His desire is to make us into a blessing. And many, many people will be blessed through you and me. Because someone said, obedience, work without faith is like building a house on sand. It will not stand. But if you say that I have faith without action, without response, you are seeing a foundation, but you do nothing on that foundation to build a house. So there's still no dwelling place for you. The two has to come together. But knowing that, our response has never been perfect. But God doesn't mind that. God doesn't care, because His strength will make perfect in our weakness. Today, the communion, the bread and the wine present before us. Jesus replace Isaac. Jesus replace the sinful consequence that you and I are supposed to have, and transform our lives. Would you allow him once again to transform your life and make you a blessing for many? Let's bow and pray. Would you pray for yourself? I hope Abraham's example will inspire you and encourage you. As someone as weak as Abraham, imperfect, many faults in his life, even though he responded favorable to God, he still made a lot of mistakes, stumbled all the way. But nevertheless, God's power made perfect in his weakness, because God gave us his promises. Father, we come before you with a humble heart, knowing that our faith is never perfect. Whatever we do, we know it has been tainted by sin. But Father, we thank you because by the grace of your only begotten Son, your loved one, Jesus Christ, that you sacrifice him on the cross, and therefore make us perfect. This morning, we are willing to submit ourselves to you. Would you make us a blessing through Jesus Christ? We pray in Christ's name.